Sylvia Busis and Jean Meth on National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Chapter, Oral History 2 on November 2nd, 1982, interviewing Mr. Jerome Edlis. Mr. Edlis, since we spoke with you to make the appointment, you did a lot of homework getting out documents and memorabilia so that we could really get good information, and that's really wonderful, particularly this booklet that you're giving us with pictures and write-ups about the family. Your father came to this country when and from where? Well, read it or talk, whatever you're more comfortable doing.
This one's okay. You better not.
I think you can talk a little louder, too.
Let's hold back on this here, I think. For a minute, I'll explain to you what this is.
Well, it gets very choppy when we turn it off, so I don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're not worrying.
Anyhow. This is a paper that was prepared. This is the most recent information that we have, because this is a paper that was prepared by Ida Cohn Sullivan.
Yes.
And director of Non-Formal Academy of Jewish Studies.
Is that why she was interviewing you for her Academy of Jewish Studies?
She first interviewed me several years ago. But the interview was after they put out that first book, I Am a Book.
By Myself, I'm a Book. Yes. Because I checked the index and I didn't see any reference to you. I wanted to make sure after you said you'd been interviewed.
She got to me after.
I see.
In fact, the book was printed.
Yes.
She got into one office. I'm not mentioning any names. Says that you haven't done justice to your book. And she wondered why. She says, well, one of the most important families in Pittsburgh was the Emmett family.
Well, we're going to rectify that right today.
He said, you should have gone down and talked to Mr. Emmett. So she discovered possibly she had made a mistake, so she gave to me. After the book,
well, now you have doubles. You're being interviewed twice.
She says, someday, she says, I'd like to cover the family when we could get some time. And that went on for about a year or two, maybe more. So then most recently, she was invited to go out to California and appear before... this paper was given at the 10th Annual Conference on Ethnic and Minority Studies, University of Santa Clara, April 16th, 1982. That's this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
It really is her.
She went to the conference, and she asked me whether or not I would permit her, because I did say, well, sometime I'm going to let you write a little history. I says, because I'm not a historian.
Maybe we could also, in addition to talking with you, maybe we could Xerox this. I mean, I certainly want you to keep the original, but I think it would be helpful if we could have that.
She starts at the very, she did a complete research on what she did is Adolf Edlis, a Hungarian Jew in Pittsburgh politics. And then she did her research. In fact,
so the whole thing was on your father.
On Dad, yes. And I don't know whether she has anything on me, but that's not so important.
They're really both important.
Well,
frankly,
the main thing was Dad Shelley, because he was the man. He deserves, unfortunately, living. but he deserves everything that she found about him. But we found quite a few going back. She goes back and researches the old family also.
Really?
Oh, yes. In fact, she produces something that I never knew. She goes back to my dad's, Alex's grandfather.
And she found something that you didn't know in your ancestry?
No, in fact, one of the family had a very high position in the government, in the government of the Emperor Franz Joseph.
This was in Hungary?
In Austria-Hungary, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she found that material, for instance, here. She uses words I can't even make them up, but in giving you the birth of that sanity, she says here, Adolf Edels was born in 1860 in Lichik, which is Luchko, Hungary, now part of Czechoslovakia, as Avrohom Yitzchak, the son of Shimshon Yechiel. Now, the Shimshon Yechiel was my great-grandfather, because this was my dad's father, Shimshon Yechiel. My dad was Avrohom Yitzchak.
I see.
And he found, I didn't read this, so I didn't get a chance to, I read it once, but I didn't read the whole thing again.
Well, I tell you, since we will be asking for a Xerox of that, I think maybe you don't even need to refer to it, because we'll ask you about things that you can remember, and maybe some of your impressions and things that will flesh that out, so that we'll have the benefit of that, plus of some of the things that you remember.
Well, this commander refers a little wee bit towards something that I have noted. See, the name Edlis is a matron, I looked in the dictionary, couldn't find it.
That would be from the mother, a name from the mother.
Is a matronic matron. Shishin Yehiel had come from another town, a poor, brilliant scholar, very pious. This is my dad's, Alex father.
Yeah.
A poor but brilliant scholar, very pious, as my dad was too, and a chassid. He had married Etil, E-T-I-L. And this came, Etzel, daughter of Shloimeh Zelma Spiegel. That was another family. The family of his bride was very prestigious in the town. Shloimeh Zelma Spiegel had been appointed to an important county office by Emperor Franz Joseph. So it was quite reasonable that Shimshon Yechiel was known as Etil. This was probably the origin of the name Edlis.
Oh, well, that's a good explanation.
And when I went to school, former Judge Sarah Sokol, I suppose you've heard of her.
Yes.
I don't think she's living anymore.
I don't think so.
Well, she was my Latin teacher, my report teacher, and she used to always call me Edlis, see? Edlis. And sometimes Etlis, and I used to always say to Rosaco, my name is not that. My name is Etlis. You're going to be whatever I call you.
Oh, I think that happened to a lot of people.
Anyhow.
So your father was born in Hungary, how old was he?
1860.
Right. And when did he, do you know when he came to the United States?
He came to the United States in, I think I have noted that. He arrived in New York about 1878.
Well, he came as a young man.
Yes, 1878.
All right, and then he got to Pittsburgh. Do you have any idea when or what brought him to Pittsburgh?
Oh yes, we that is covered completely in this book.
Okay. Well, then we'll try not to repeat any of the things that you have unwritten material. So you were born in Pittsburgh then?
Yes, ma'am.
And who else was in the family?
Everybody else was born in Pittsburgh.
Well, who are your brothers or sisters then?
Unfortunately, none of them lived. I'm the only one.
But who were they?
Survivor. Who were they? Covered also in here.
Okay. All right.
Covered in the tribute to Adolf Engels. Adolf Engels was born in Hungary in the year 1860.
Well, okay, we won't repeat those things then.
You can take it.
When you were growing up in Pittsburgh, was your father, when you were a little boy, was your father already entering the political scene?
Yes.
Want to tell us what you might remember about that, since the details of it are covered in these written things that you're giving us? Did you know that in addition to, he was also in business, is that right?
Well, yes. He started out as a traveling salesman.
I guess everybody did.
Well, but he had a little, that's covered here very, very nicely. New York was Mr. Edison's first destination. Shortly after his arrival, he engaged in hostile solicitation. At this point, he became somewhat more daring and commenced manufacturing stiffened powder liquid, which is used then in those days at the barbecue. Personally contacting butcher shops, grocery stores, a few drug stores, where he found good but rather meager market for his wares. It was this crude form of cosmetics and the great delight in meeting and contacting the public. It was the beginning of a colorful career that was never to be deemed until his untimely death.
Do you have any recollection of what brought him to Pittsburgh from New York? Did he ever tell you about that?
Yes. In 1882, Mr. Edlis met and soon married a charming young lady, Amelia Lee, who was endeared to him until her death in 1919. So close was the companionship, he appeared to his love, and he never married. I used to always say to him, and this came up because I lived with him until we lived with him until he passed away in the house on Euclid Avenue. Even after I got married, to Victor Price, he wouldn't let me and my brother go housekeeping. We had to stay with him.
Both married couples stayed with him.
Edith was born when not from the house operation, born in the hospital.
Yeah.
But she lived with us. Edith lived with us.
So what was your brother's name?
Sam. Yeah, Sam. Mm-hmm. And his wife was Mary. And Edith and Seymour.
Seymour.
That was the boy. Mm-hmm. They all lived with us until...
And you and your wife and the four children also, you all lived together in that house?
We all lived together. Yeah.
Did you have other brothers or sisters?
Oh, yes. But they were all married then. They were all off.
Oh, were you two the youngest? Is that it? You and Sam, were you the youngest?
We were the only two in Pittsburgh. The others were in New York. And They were not at home. We were only ones at home. The kids were
Who were the others? Who were your other brothers and sisters?
I had a brother. The oldest brother was Murray. He lived in Pittsburgh. And brother Harry, but Harry necessarily passed away in about 1900, that's about 1904, 1905, when he lived on Raleigh Avenue. He was a parent.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pianist.
Oh.
And Harry, well, the girls was, the oldest girl was Lottie. And the other, the next girl was, then come Murray. And then come, then came Ethel. And then came Harry. Then came Sam. Then came Edith. Sister passed away up on the nuclear, up the Victor Place. And then prior to my birth, there was a girl by the name of Matilda, but she died as an infant.
Okay. So we're talking about the children. You were the baby of eight?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Matilda. And she was buried out at the North Suffolk Cemetery. And then myself.
And when were you born, Mr. Edlis?
I was born in 1898. December 9th. Hanukkah night.
Wow, what a nice time for a birthday.
The first birthday?
Yes.
Yeah. You always got an extra special Hanukkah, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was born right where Civic Arena is. Right on that spot.
Really?
Corner of Bali Avenue and most of it's called Federal Street because there was a Federal Street on the north side.
Okay.
Later changed it to Randall Street.
That must have been an exciting place to live.
Well, it was downtown.
Yeah.
We lived. When my dad first came to Pittsburgh, I don't know how he ever got out there, but he went. He moved to what they call Dutchtown. The end of Grandview Avenue beyond
on Mount Washington.
Where, yeah, beyond really? Where the Lamont is.
Yeah.
At the end of that street, it's called Duquesne Heights. And mostly all German people lived up there. And there were very few Jews. I don't think any Jews up there. I think he crashed the place.
Oh my goodness.
If I'm not mistaken.
Well, how long did he stay there before he moved to the hill?
From there, he came down and moved to where the Chinese had China Inn is up around, Chinese restaurant.
Second Avenue,
on Third Avenue.
Third Avenue. Yeah.
Opposite
yeah.
the Grand Building.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's still a house there.
And that's
and
where
that
he lived.
It was a Chinese recently, his last. They had a store in there, and he moved from Mount Washington down there. That was his first move, and then from there he moved up to the corner of State Alley, and State Alley was right off the Federal Street, like just a half a block up from Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Where the old Shadyside Hospital, where you have now Shadyside, which was the old homeopathic hospital.
Yeah.
That was, they had where everybody ran the emergency room up there.
Yeah.
They were right on the corner. He had a big house up there. That's where he always liked the big house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That way he was growing. See? And from there, then he moved up to Raleigh Avenue, where I was born. And then from Raleigh Avenue, he moved back down to near the other place at the corner, which was 37 Federal Street, which later on became the St. Peter's Church, the Italian Catholic Church.
Oh, yes.
they tore down the property we were in. So Barry moved to Dinwiddie Street and lived there until 1905, moved up to Raleigh Avenue between Heron Street and Davenport.
So you were going to school from Wiley Avenue?
Yeah.
What was the school?
Well, first I went down, no, Dinwiddie Street, I went the first four grades, I was smart.
Yeah.
I went to high school, I went to a high school building, but I didn't go to high school.
I see.
The Fifth Avenue High School had a 4-year first, second,
did
third,
they?
Fourth grade.
I see.
See, and then from there you had to go to another school.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went up to Old Moorhead School on Granville Street.
Moorhead School.
Moorhead. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's public school. And of course, from Moorhead School, I went to down to the Sass School, Mr. Jennings' school down on downtown where the mortgage is, right opposite the board. It's not in existence anymore.
What was the name of that school?
South School. Second Ward School.
Second Ward School.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second Ward School.
Was that high school at that point, or?
No, public school.
Still public school.
Because I remember that Moorhead School was condemned. The building was condemned. And I didn't like it up there anyhow. I was student. So I told my dad I didn't want to go no place. I said I want to go to school. While the building was condemned, see, and of course he was a politician, and he could get me any place he would say to take him. They took him, so he called Mr. Jennings up and says he has a boy at home, a boy they're not going to school up at Moorhead. He says, will you take him downtown? Got me in South School, and that's where I graduated, public school, 8th grade.
I see. Now, so you were really a little boy when Dad was already in politics.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know much about it at home? Did he talk about it, or did you have important people coming to the house?
Oh, yes. Well, they always called it the Endless Hotel. It was an open house.
Oh, really? And what kind of people came? Do you remember any of them?
I don't remember exact names, but I do remember up on particularly, because I was a little older then, but up on Raleigh Avenue, and after we moved from Dinwiddie Street to Raleigh Avenue, Dad then was, of course, in the legislature in the council.
In the legislature, too?
Legislature,
yes. Was that a state?
State legislature. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She covers this here very well because she tells you here she says being in the state legislature because he was the author of the original national White Slave Act.
Oh, really? Through the state legislature?
Yeah, and in Pennsylvania it's known as the Edless Act.
Is it really?
Oh, yes. And from the Edless Act, Representative Mann from the state of Indiana, he introduced it into Congress under the name of the Mann Act.
Oh, yeah.
M-A-N-N.
Right.
But in Pennsylvania, the original act was the Edless Act.
Did he ever mention what sort of drew him into politics, or how did he happen to go in that direction? That was pretty unusual for a Jewish person at that point, wasn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, as I said before, everybody knew Adolf. He was he made friends. He never had an enemy that I know, because he used to always say to me when I was a kid, take me here, take me there. I had to join every organization that belonged to eventually. mm-hmm. or if there was some kind of a sink or someplace and want me to go there. And I used to, many times, I remember this very clearly, I used to say, well, look, you go. I says, I don't need to go. He says, in fact, I don't want to go. He says, why don't you want to go? I said, oh, I don't like those people. What do you mean you don't like those people? He said, what did they ever do to you? I said, nothing. I just don't like them. He says, I don't want to say what he said. See?
He really enjoyed being with people.
Listen, young man, he says, teach you one thing. He says, if you can't say good about somebody, he says, don't say anything.
So that was his motto.
He says, don't you talk about it. If you can't say good.
Now, were these people Gentile as well as Jewish?
They had Italians in the neighborhood. They had some colored people up in that area. And he liked people. He was father of the Knights of Pythias Lodge here at Pittsburgh. When he came from New York, he was the only Jew that belonged to the art fellows down in New York, what he told us.
So really as an immigrant, he was already joining fraternal organizations mixing with a lot of people.
He too was educated in Europe.
What kind of an education did he have?
He went to the gymnasium, which is equivalent to the college here, mm-hmm. what he told us. And then he was also a yeshiva booker. You know what a yeshiva booker is?
Sure, we know what a yeshiva booker is. So he had both kinds of knowledge.
He used to teach the children of some of the more, if some of the better class people, the Jewish people, in his home city, mm-hmm. who could afford it, after school in the evenings he used to teach, and he made extra money. That was his money. But when he came to this country, he couldn't read or write English. And I used to always, that's why I wanted to check something there when we talked about my brother's heritage. I used to say to him, and I remember very well, I had a lot of nerve. I used to say to him when we had discussions and so forth, because I used to, when I wanted to go, I used to go every place with my parents, because I was the baby of the family.
Well, that's what happens to the baby of the family.
So I used to say to him, I says, look, Dad, tell me. And I says, you came here, you says that you were greenie, that you couldn't read and write English. He says, that's right. He says, of course, he says, I had a lot in my head that I couldn't express myself. And then I says to him, well, tell me this. I says, how come a greenie? I says, you were no Beau Brummel. I says, how come you pick up and marry my mother? That she come from a new or a strict Orthodox Jew, and he was very strict. I says, they were as strict as you were a Jew. They were reformed.
Was this a Pittsburgh family, the Pittsburgh Lehmans?
No relation to the Pittsburgh Lehmans, no. They were Bohemian. The old man, my grandfather, grandmother, my mother's side, mm-hmm. they came from Bohemia, which was German. They spoke only German.
But was it a Pittsburgh family?
No. New York.
Oh,
and
I see.
Says, how did you come to pick up my mother?
Yeah.
See? I says, I can understand. She's a nice-looking girl. And I says, she come from a family absolutely away from your thinking of Jewishness, and particularly you're a greenie and she's American born.
Oh, she was American born.
She was born in New York.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah. And I says, tell her. He says, well, she liked me. I liked her. Just like that. See? And I never forgot that. I always reminded my sisters and brothers. I was closer to my dad than any of the other children.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, then you really have a lot.
Being the baby,
Lots of advantages.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We have to watch this. I forgot to watch the time when it's going to go off. No, only to turn the tape. That's all right. Until it makes a noise, we're okay.
All right.
So he was already in politics, did somebody come to him and say, Adolf, we want you to run for something, or?
No, he made friends, apparently, because I was just a youngster then. Some of the things I remember, of course, he was very friendly.